And now, as Commissioner Fritz likes to say, now for something completely different. So we'll move to 965, please, the fall bump.
Adopt the fiscal year 2019-20 fall supplemental budget and make other budget-related changes.
Colleagues, before us, of course, we have the fall supplemental budget, also known as the fall bump. The fall bump is primarily meant to address technical adjustments to true up budgets between fiscal years. Bureaus, of course, may also appropriate new resources or request general fund contingency for urgent and unforeseen needs that cannot be accommodated within the current budget year. And we have a number of those. City Budget Director Jessica Kennard will walk us through the current ordinance. We'll then hear and second some amendments to the ordinance. I have two that I believe that the council is well aware of. And after that, we'll provide opportunity for public testimony before the final deliberations and voting. So now I will turn it over to Director Kennard. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, you Mayor and members of Council. I'm Jessica Kennard, City Budget Director, and I'm here with Jane Marie Ford, who is our Budget Monitoring Process Coordinator. You'll recall we held a work session on October 3rd where we reviewed the details of the requested supplemental budget changes. I know that Council has a very full agenda today. Given that we did just hold a detailed work session on the topic, I intend to be brief and focus my presentation on key decision points, primarily impacting the general fund. However, the entire supplemental budget ordinance is open for discussion, and I'm happy to answer questions on any aspect of the proposed bump. For the benefit of folks watching in the audience and at home, I want to briefly provide contextual information related to the budget monitoring process, or as we call it, the bump. The fall bump is the first of three budget monitoring processes we undertake each year. The fall bump is primarily meant to provide prior year reporting, make current year budget adjustments, and true up costs between fiscal years. Specifically in the fall bump, we true up the general fund ending balance from the prior year to account for various types of carryovers and other technical adjustments across the fiscal years. Once these adjustments are accounted for, we deposit any excess fund balance into contingency for one-time expenditures in the current year. This fall, we are recognizing a total of $11.1 million in excess general fund balance. This amount is consistent with what we would expect given city financial policies of forecasting conservatively and with a continued strong economy. Per city financial policy, half of this excess balance is dedicated to major maintenance and infrastructure costs. Thus, approximately $5.5 million are being budgeted in general fund contingency policy set aside, which will be allocated through the capital set aside process during the fiscal year 2021 budget development. In total, allocations in the proposed supplemental budget in front of you will yield a balance of $3.5 million in unrestricted contingency to address any unanticipated needs through the remainder of the current fiscal year or to address one-time needs in next year's budget process. So you should have in front of you Exhibit 4, which details, it's an alternatively shaded document that details requests impacting current year general fund. Again, in the interest of time, I'm only going to highlight allocations of general fund contingency that are included in the mayor's proposed supplemental budget. However, council should feel free to ask questions or interject about any of these requests. So to start off, the current mayor's proposed supplemental budget has $174,876 to fund a limited-term elections coordinator in the auditor's office following a court ruling that upheld new campaign finance regulations. It includes $392,000 to support overtime training required to implement the new integrated priority dispatch system in the Bureau of Emergency Communications. Skipping down now, it includes $1,984,400 to fund currently estimated general fund obligations related to the Portland Harbor remedy design work, including payments to the trust. It includes $250,000 in the Portland Housing Bureau to start work on procuring an expanded rental registration system. Skipping down a couple of rows, it includes $6,800 in the Bureau of Human Resources for a Western States Center training for city commissioners and bureau directors in alignment with Council Resolution 37414, which condemned white supremacists and alt-right hate groups. Skipping a row, it includes $194,000 in Portland Parks and Recreation for vehicle purchases associated with operations and maintenance work that was funded, the O&M work, which was funded through budget development. It includes $31,000 in Portland Parks and Recreation for Pioneer Square restroom services, $50,000 in Portland Police Bureau for safety barriers, which costs were incurred during the August 17th protest in downtown Portland, It includes $120,000 in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for additional work related to the Anti-Displacement Action Plan. It includes just over $1.2 million to fund the city's commitment pursuant to the Intergovernmental Agreement for the Columbia River Levy System through fiscal year 2025-26. Includes $131,528 in special appropriations for Experience PDX. It includes $30,000 in special appropriations for immigration legal services at the Gateway Center for Domestic Violence, which is a one-time allocation that does not change the city's ongoing funding baseline. Includes $500,000 in special appropriations for the DePaul Treatment Center. And finally, $66,000 to fund a public right-of-way cost study related to small wireless facilities in the Portland Bureau of Transportation. As stated earlier, these allocations yield a balance of approximately $3.5 million in general fund unrestricted contingency to address future urgent current year needs or one-time costs during next year's budget development. Are there any questions on any of those items? Great. Next, I'd like to turn Council's attention to current appropriation level target adjustments that are included in this proposed supplemental budget. So in the fall supplemental budget, Council may direct the City Budget Office to make adjustments to next year's current appropriation level target, which we refer to as the CAL target, and that's for the future ongoing allocated resources for bureaus. So this proposed bump includes one adjustment to CAL, which increases the CAL target by a currently estimated total of $1.8 million in the Office of Management and Finance Revenue Division for the integrated tax system. And this was also signaled through a budget note that was passed by Council during the development of the current year budget. It's worth noting that this amount assumes the project is able to recover cost sharing from affected funds and entities. Finally, I'd like to highlight some position changes because we didn't have sufficient time to fully discuss those changes during the work session. You have with your Exhibit 5, there's a summary document that details all of the position changes that are included in the proposed budget. These position changes are all funded with internal bureau resources, with the exception of a limited term position in the auditor's office that's connected to the request for resources related to the new campaign finance regulations. Most notably, you'll see that the Bureau of Transportation is adding 27 FTE. 8 of these positions were previously authorized but did not get processed in time to be included in the current year budget, and the other positions seek to meet increased workload demands in maintenance, development, permitting and transit, engineering, parking, business services, and policy planning and projects. There's 4.5 FTE in parks, which are positions associated with the new operations and maintenance funding that also was approved through the 2019-20 budget development. So again, no new resources required there. Are there any other questions around the positions? So you have a copy of the full proposed supplemental budget in front of you. I'm happy to walk through any of the exhibits or answer any questions before we move to amendments and public testimony.
Commissioner Udaly, did you have a question?
I guess I just want to make a statement on behalf of PBOT. I appreciate CBO's recommendation and the mayor's inclusion of $66,000 for completion of the right-of-way study. The study is related to the collection of resources from small wireless facilities. I'd also appreciate if the hammering outside would stop for the duration of council. However, PBOT also invested $186,691 to update engineering standards and pole designs to allow for the attachment of small cell equipment on our streetlight and signal poles. These investments were necessary to advance the citywide priority of bringing 5G capabilities to our community and resulted in $950,000 of new ongoing general fund resources. PBOT is not receiving any of these resources for the work that was completed on the city's behalf. If funding is not awarded in the fall bump to reimburse PBOT for these efforts, I'd like to put a marker down that if contingency funding is still available at the time of the spring bump, that PBOT should be reimbursed for their costs incurred in this effort. I believe the resources collected as a result of this work should pay for the work that was completed, and I hope that my colleagues will support that.
Thank you. And Commissioner Udaley, I just got a note from my office saying they are going to track down the hammering and see if they can get it suspended for the remainder of session.
Thank you.
Text us at work.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty.
I want to compliment the budget office, Jessica, Director Jessica. You do a fabulous job of both making this understandable, right, and being collaborative with our offices. And I just want to publicly say what a difference a year makes. I feel so much more knowledgeable now about the budget, and it's because of your office ability to just go through and discuss anything that needs to be discussed. I also want to appreciate the forward thinking that allows us to put almost $2 million into a trust for the Portland Harbor cleanup, because we will have an obligation to do that. And though it's distasteful to think that we are spending city money to make that happen, we know it must happen, right? And we're still hopeful that we will get the polluters to pay their own way, but we have an obligation to make sure that our community is not inhaling those toxics. And the last kind thing I'll say about you today, Jessica, but maybe there'll be more, but at least for the moment, is that I am also grateful. There was one other one that I wanted to really highlight, and it was another appropriation. Do you remember what it was? It's something that we have to do, but we didn't have to do it now.
The Columbia River levy.
The Columbia River, yes. How can I forget the Columbia River? Again, I think that we are making really smart decisions because we're thinking about what's going to be coming down the road that we are responsible for, and you are helping us quite a bit. You and your staff have just been phenomenal in helping us understand that. So thank you.
Okay. That was my question.
So we're going to move to amendments now?
Yes.
All right, very good. I'd like to propose two. I make a motion for the following adjustment to the supplemental budget as proposed. Increase general fund contingency policy set aside by $250,000 to be available for outside legal counsel for labor negotiations. And we would reduce general fund unrestricted contingency by $250,000 to fund this change. We'd update exhibits 1 through 5 as needed to reflect this change. Can I get a second? We have a motion for myself, a second from Commissioner Hardesty. That is now on the table. We'll keep it open pending public testimony. The second motion I'd like to make as an adjustment to the supplemental budget is proposed as follows. Increased general fund bureau program expenses by $25,000 in the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management and $25,000 in the Bureau of Development Services for partnering to mitigate fossil fuel risk. Reduce general fund unrestricted contingency by $50,000 to fund this change. And then again, update exhibits 1 through 5 as needed to reflect this change.
Second.
Motion and a second, Commissioner Hardesty. Commissioner Fritz, I understand you have an amendment.
Thank you. I move to increase general fund bureau program expenses for the Office of Equity and Human Rights by $25,000 to fund unanticipated personnel costs in the current year. Reduce general fund contingency by $25,000 to fund this change, and update exhibits 1 through 5 as needed to reflect this change.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Udaley, and then Commissioner Fish.
Yes, I have a, so did you say earlier that someone in your office is going to ask them to cease?
Yes.
So are we having a protracted negotiation over that, or can we just ask someone to stop? Can we have someone follow up on that? Because it really, I can't hear my colleagues. I think we all just need to tell the person to stop.
Here, take this with you.
Where's Keenan know when we need him?
We got law enforcement in here. Maybe they can go out and just look at it.
We got a big building. They can move to another park just for an hour or so. So,
Kirsten Dennis is on it. Thank you, Kirsten.
So my amendment is to increase bureau program expenses for Portland Parks and Recreation by $31,344 in the Gulf Fund, which is Fund 603, and $27,656 in the Portland International Raceway Fund 604. Those are both enterprise funds, for for a net increase of $59,000 in Bureau Enterprise Fund resources to fund an operating shortfall in the Peninsula 1, Penn 1 Drainage District. This would reduce contingency in Fund 603 and Fund 604 by $31,344 and $27,656 respectively to fund this change. Update exhibits 1 through 5 is needed to reflect this change. This amendment provides one-time funding for Peninsula 1 expenses attributed to the 640 acres of drainage district that fall within the boundaries of the Portland International Raceway and the Heron Lakes Golf Course. Exhibit, update exhibits 1 through 5 is needed.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Fritz. Any further amendments?
Call the roll on
Are we ready to go? Well, I'd like to go to public testimony before call the roll
on
the amendments.
Public testimony.
Comes out of it. We're eating.
Have you completed your presentation?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Is there any public testimony on the amendments, Carla?
Or yes,
the
we have
main
six
motion?
People signed up.
Very good.
The first three, please come on up, are Karen Kushner, Koi Vu, and Adam McBride Smith.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you very much for giving me the time today, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners and members of the City Council. I'm a board member for Metropolitan Family Services, and I'm here delighted to explain to you why I feel like we need to review the deficit that's currently in the budget. So again, thank you for your time. As you know, PDX Experience Corps is a very strong intergenerational program. It's showing very strong results. And in one site alone, 93% of the children met or exceeded fluency. There are 75% of the
Ma'am,
children.
Could you stand for 1 second?
Yes.
We have about 2 inches of paperwork in front of us.
Right.
So can I just make a suggestion, and this won't be used
yes.
against your time. Could you each begin by saying whether you are here to support an existing budget ask or whether you're seeking an amendment? Because it would be helpful to us to understand, are we talking something that's in the mayor's proposed or an amendment, and then give us your best argument. But it would just be helpful to frame this up in terms of what are we talking about.
Yeah, and this can also get a little complicated because it was not in the Bureau proposed, but it is in the mayor's proposed for Experience
yes.
PDX, 131.
Amy, did you want to speak to that?
Could you identify yourself, please?
So it's in the mayor's proposed, and I just want to be clear. Are you here to support something that's in the mayor's proposed?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And, all right, thank you. That's very helpful.
Could you give us your name, please?
Yes, my name is Karen Kushner, and I'm a board member. And this is a wonderful program. It is currently serving 5 schools. We have 1,450 students that are in the classrooms, and we have 108 students that have a one-on-one relationship. We have ongoing partnership with SEI, NEA, Latina Network, and ERCO so that we can recruit mentors and we can introduce these children to immigrants and refugee elders. The current program is serving 75% of children who are children of color. And as a board member, I want you to ask your support for this program. We have a lot of mentors in the room currently, a lot of staff, the ED, and the program manager. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. You started your presentation by saying there was a shortfall, and that's why this is in the mayor's proposed budget.
Yes,
I'd like
Commissioner Hardesty. So we're actually running at a deficit. We currently have 1.5 full-time employee as opposed to the 2.5 full-time employee it takes to run the program.
And so my question is, what are you going to do to make sure you're not coming back to the city next time because you have a budget shortfall? Is this just a temporary thing, or are you expecting this to be ongoing funding?
I believe it was an accidental issue that happened in the budgeting. That's my understanding of it. I think that something happened when we proposed the original budget that covered the 2.5, and I think there was a mishap.
I think there's someone back there that wants to come up forward and explain that. And I just want to say it has nothing to do with whether I like or dislike the program. Yeah. It's just as a elected official who has a city budget that we have to balance, I just want to understand why we're doing this and to make sure that it is a real emergency and it's not something that becomes ongoing.
No, okay. My name's Judy Strand. I'm the Chief Executive Officer for Metropolitan Family Service. And Experience PDX was a project that started in partnership with the city for the last budget cycle. And so that was an allocation that we all had invested in together. And we had proposed for that investment to be renewed as we had understood we should. That got overlooked by the city inadvertently, and so we were asked to come back to apply for the fall bump because our proposal did not get noticed, and it was just an oversight. So that we are just here to speak to the fact that the program needs are still present. We have we had to cut because we didn't have the ongoing funds that we anticipated. Does that make sense?
It does.
Perhaps Mayor Wheeler,
perhaps you could offline conversation would actually illuminate the questions that I have. Again, nothing away from the quality of the program, but I am always concerned when someone says, oh, there was a shortfall, so here we are.
Can I just be really clear? Because we're in the fall bump process right now, so there's no commitment at this point for ongoing, and this is a conversation where we need to have a more thoughtful conversation in the upcoming full budget process.
Yes.
Yeah, because my understanding was it was a pilot project. It was not authorized as an ongoing allocation.
Yes, and at the same time, we were encouraged to apply again for this time period. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, the challenge is we didn't have any extra money this year, so I'm supportive of the mayor's proposal to fund it for this year, but we may not have any extra money next year. So
I understand. I think we have some other ideas.
Not a yes or a no, but I'm just saying the conversation about ongoing will continue under the regular budget process.
I was going to say, and we encourage a lot of people to apply, but we don't have all the money we'd like to have to actually fund all the things that people apply for. So thank you very much. That's been very helpful for this conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate your being here as always. Thank you.
Hi, if you don't mind, I'd like to go next.
Sure.
Because we are talking about the same.
Yeah, please, go ahead. Go for it.
I can't tell if the microphone is on or not.
It's off. Hold on.
Appear to be.
Okay, there you go. Hi,
there you go. Good.
Perfect. So hi, I'm Koi Vu. I'm the director of Asian Family Center with the Immigrant Refugee Community Organization. I'm also here in support of Metropolitan Family Services to talk about the fall bump in regards to the mentoring program that we partner with MFS with. So for those of us who don't know, and I will be brief, ERCO is a culturally specific nonprofit organization in the Portland area that provides direct holistic wraparound social services, education, legal services, advocacy to immigrants and refugees, and our larger community in Oregon, primarily in the Portland Tri-County area, but also we have a presence in Ontario to serve our African, Syrian, and Iraqi refugees over there in Ontario. We serve a multi-ethnic intergenerational population from prenatal through our parent-child development services to end of life in their senior services programs. I've been here to testify before, wearing different hats. The last time I was here was with my aging colleagues. I guess we're all aging, but our aging services colleagues.
Ouch.
Aging and services colleagues and peers from Metro Family Services. I highlighted the importance of oral history and storytelling in ethnic communities because that is the way that our ancestors have been doing it from the beginning of time. And through these mentorship programs that MFS and ERCO has been partnering with together, we are able to do this with our communities. Truth is that many of our newly arrival immigrants and refugees are still trying to survive, learn, and integrate in a new world and way of life. However, as they live here longer, they realize that we're no longer going back to our own countries, and that we have to integrate into this new system, and oftentimes it's very isolating in a very individualistic country that we are a part of. And so many retirees and adults actually do want to give back and lift back the communities and don't know how, other than the larger community engagement, civic engagement, but at an individualistic level or at a more interpersonal level, sometimes it's not as available. And so we want to, and they want to build the relationships to preserve their cultures and languages for the next generation. So that's why we're so excited to be partnering with MFS and partner with the Experience Corps PDX a few years ago to support the intergenerational mentoring program and using an equity lens for culturally responsive programming and matching of mentors and mentees. At the beginning of the work, earlier iteration, ERCO, along with other culturally specific organizations, NAYA, Latino Network, SEI, including ERCO, provided coaching and training to MFS staff and leadership on working with diverse communities, specifically at ERCO, as the immigrant and refugee communities. And then now we are working very closely together to identify culturally specific mentors to work with the students.
Thank you.
So, yeah. So we're here to continue to support the work that MFS is doing, and we ask for your assistance in supporting that work.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Adam McBride-Smith. I'm here speaking for Real Choice Initiative, and I'd like to speak in favor of the expanded rental registry and to ask also that it be fully funded at the requested amount. This registry would include basic accessibility features and price ranges so that renters can actually use the registry to find housing that works best for them. This is a pressing need for renters with disabilities, older renters, and low-income renters, people of color, and many others. Right now, in this city, it's nearly impossible to find accessible, affordable housing, but an inclusive rental registry could change that for the better. The disability community needs this to keep us out of medical facilities, institutions, and off the streets, because that's where people with disabilities end up when they can't find appropriate housing. I appreciate that the fall supplemental budget funds a percentage of the cost of an expanded rental registry, but we'd like to urge you to please provide the needed funding to get the expanded rental registry done as soon as possible. I'd also like to say, on a personal note, my wife was diagnosed with MS several years ago, and I can say that keeping health insurance and maintaining care are burden enough. We're lucky to have stable housing, but many people in our community with MS, with other conditions, who use power chairs, who have mobility issues, who have low vision and other disabilities, struggle to find appropriate housing. Having an expanded rental registry, which includes information related to accessibility and price ranges, is vitally important for this community. And if you are sincere about ending houselessness in this city, if you want to be leaders in disability rights, as you should want to be, we would urge you to support the expanded rental registry.
Very good. And could I just briefly comment on that? So I want you to know that it has my 100% commitment, and what I have requested in the mayor's supplemental is what I believe we can actually deploy between now and the end of the year, given what I've heard from the Bureau of Housing. So we are moving forward. Next year's full budget will include more funding for the additional resources, both for the product that we're going to need as well as the personnel and the systems to go to the unit by unit data collection, which I think is where we all want to ultimately get. So we're not being stingy here. If I felt realistically that by the end of the fiscal year we could do it, I'd put the whole amount in today. But it's just been made very clear to me and my colleagues that the resources that we have included in the supplemental budget is what they can realistically deploy by the end of the fiscal year. But I personally have an ongoing commitment beyond that into the next budget cycle as well, and I just wanted you to know that.
Okay. I'm very glad to hear that. Thank you for speaking to me.
Yeah, thank you for your testimony. Thank you both.
Thank you.
The last three who signed up are Laura Heller, Alan Hines, and Nico Serra.
Welcome. Good morning for one more minute.
One more minute.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. Good morning. Almost good afternoon. My name is Laura Heller. I'm the program manager of older adult and intergenerational programming at Metropolitan Family Service.
So can I just tell you something that's very encouraging?
Mm-hmm.
There's no one in this council that has indicated they're going to take this out of the mayor's proposed.
Okay.
So we welcome testimony, but no one has signaled this is coming out. So it looks like you've got five votes. And anything you want to share with us just to reinforce would be welcome, but I think you've won the day.
Well, thank you. Out of respect for your time, I'll return my time to you then. Thank you.
I'd like to hear something of what you have to say. I mean, you came all this way.
Yeah, you were helping.
Thank you.
I was trying to reassure you. I wasn't trying to cut you off.
Thank you. Trying to read things. I wanted to share a story, but first I wanted to acknowledge we have several of our volunteers in the room who've taken time out of their service today to be here because they recognize how important it is.
Wave so we know who you are.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
See, we'd have missed that if you had just left.
Thank you. Well, I'm already tearing up because I'm going to share a story with you that Carol, one of our volunteers here, shared with me at a team meeting. We have monthly team meetings at our schools, and Carol's story, I think, really articulates the power of an intergenerational connection between an older adult who really is there to support a child in both their learning, their academic success, but also in their development and their growth, and also there to hear when things aren't going well. So the following story provides a compelling illustration of the impact of the training that we offer, support, and growth provided by ECPDX for students, mentors, and schools. Carol met in early May with one of her third grade student matches, Enrique. Enrique had recently returned to Portland from Guatemala, his home country, but Carol learned that his father had been deported and was unable to return to Portland with his family. In their meeting, Carol observed that Enrique was not able to focus enough to read together, so they talked. The student told Carol that his family did not have a lot of, quote, stuff in the house. His mother was looking for work, but they were hungry most of the time and, quote, running out of money fast. Enrique showed Carol stitches where he had fallen and hit his head while they were in Guatemala. He did not know if he was checked for a concussion, and he said that he'd been having headaches frequently since he fell. Carol shared this information with the student's teacher and the school nurse. The teacher immediately emailed the son's site manager, the after-school manager, programming manager, and school social worker. By the end of the day, the son's site manager had spoken with Enrique's mother, helped schedule a medical appointment for Enrique, and provided the family with a food box. Additionally, a school employee had scheduled to meet with Enrique's mother to purchase additional food and hygiene items, and the family was provided with vouchers to purchase shoes, information regarding the district clothing closet, and other resources. Lastly, the family was approved through Self-Enhancement Incorporated to pay an overdue electricity bill. By listening and leading with the relationship, this mentor was able to activate a community of support around the student, steps she had not felt empowered to take previously. Carol attributed this outcome in part to the additional training and knowledge she had received through ERCO, our partner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Good morning. Good afternoon.
For community. So I appreciate that you have allocated $250,000 for the same registry. I encourage you to do everything in your power to make sure the registry is fully funded so that our community can find housing when we need it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And in response to the prior gentleman, I said that this is a commitment, and I believe it's a commitment on the part of the entire council to make sure that we get that registry at a unit-by-unit data basis. So in particular, the people with disabilities know where the units are and can be connected to those units. It's really important, and I appreciate the fact that you've testified in front of this council many times to make that case. Thank you again for doing it.
Thank you.
Commissioner Daly.
Thanks for being here again, Alan. And I just want to personally attest to the challenges of finding accessible housing. My son is 18 now. I am moving out. He is staying in the accessible rental property that we have. I can afford almost any rent in the city, and I'm struggling to find a place that he could visit, let alone live. So this isn't just an issue for low-income renters or people living on restricted incomes. This is an issue that is affecting all families, and it's very expensive to convert or adapt houses to be accessible, and when you're a renter, you don't necessarily have full ability to do that at all. So I want to thank you for your support, but I do just want to kind of underscore the urgency of being able to match people who need accessible housing with the very limited accessible housing that is available.
Thanks, Alan. Hello.
Good afternoon. My name is Nico Sara. I am a white passing mixed race queer and transgender person with disabilities, and I am here to speak in favor of the expanded rental registry. Reiterate with what my colleagues have said, just that the inclusive rental registry will make life so much easier for so many people. It's really something that we need, and I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with Fairview. So Fairview was a place where basically instead of making the world accessible, people with disabilities that were using wheelchairs and had other very severe disabilities were just sent off to a place. The place was Fairview. It was near Salem, and it was a really difficult place. It was a large institution where people were kept basically because the world's not wheelchair accessible. So we've moved from that model into more like smaller houses, group homes, and things like that, 24-hour residential facilities. But people who are in these places really, they want to get out of those places too. And we have, between having care workers through our DHS and our Social Security, where we really could have more independence than a lot of us do just because we can't find the housing we need. So just really want to reiterate that we want you to fund this, and you know, if we come in and say you're probably going to be the ones telling us that we need more funding for the software, please do everything you can to make this happen. And also, please include us when you start asking about the accessibility features, because we can really help make that process easier about, you know, our basics. Are there stairs? Can we get in and out of the bathroom? Stuff like that, so that we can just make this process be as smooth as possible.
That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for
great
the
idea.
Suggestion. Thank you, all three of you. Appreciate it. Carla, were there more?
That's all who signed up.
All right, very good. So why don't we go through the amendments in the order that they were presented. First, with regard to the my first amendment, with regard to the $250,000 set aside for legal counsel for labor negotiations, could you, did you have more testimony?
Oh, no, okay. Just here in case there were questions for us.
Were there any other questions before I call the roll on the amendments? Very good. So please call the roll on the mayor's amendment one.
You Daly?
Mayor, I want to thank you for funding this request. I think it's vitally important, and I vote aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's on the table. Mayor, Amendment 2, which was the $50,000 for the Bureau of Development Services for partnering to mitigate fossil fuel risk. Any further questions? Please call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Amendment's on the table. Commissioner Fritz, number 1, with regard to the Office of Equity and Human Rights, $25,000. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
I appreciate my colleague's support. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for bringing this to our attention. In my conversation with the mayor, I suspect that there will be more of these, and I look forward to supporting those as well. I vote aye.
Thank you.
Wheeler?
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. I vote aye. The amendment is on the table, and that gets us to...
We have one more.
One more.
Oh, Fish. I'm sorry, Commissioner Fish. Commissioner Fish's amendment, and that was a series of increase to program expenses in parks and recreation, the Gulf Fund, PIR, and Penn One.
And Mayor, just to be clear, this does not involve the general fund.
Correct.
This is two enterprise funds setting aside some resources for Penn One.
You got it. Please call the roll.
Udaly?
Thank you for that clarification, Commissioner Fish. I vote aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Yes, I also appreciate the clarification, and I vote aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Amendments on the table. To the main motion, to the supplemental budget as amended, any further discussion? Anything else from the budget office? Please call the roll.
Udaly?
Well, thank you, everyone who came here to testify today, who knew that fall bump could be such an emotional item, but between the story shared about the Sun School, I'm sorry, I've forgotten the name of the program, but Experience PDX story and Fairview, I feel like we're doing some really important work in a relatively boring seeming moment. I vote aye.
Fritz?
I appreciate that this budget adjustment includes something that is important to each member of the council. That's partly what we do in the budget process, is making sure that we listen to each other and work together to be wise stewards of the taxpayers' money. Aye.
Fish.
Just a couple of comments. First, because Ted Wheeler is the mayor, he generally gets blamed for everything that doesn't work in our community, including, he's very gracious, he takes the flack for a lot of us with our deficiencies. So let's acknowledge that the mayor, under our charter, which grants the mayor very few powers, has three unique powers. And one is the mayor is supposed to lead the budget process. So if the budget process is a smooth ride, if it is collaborative, if we're able to reach a soft landing based on consensus and conversations as we are today, I think the mayor deserves the credit. Lord knows he gets enough blame for other things. So first of all, thank you, Mayor. I've been involved now in, I think, 40 different budget modification processes. There have been some fireworks at some. There have been some sticking points. There have been issues that really provoked a lot of passion. This is a relatively soft landing, and we have brought the council together around what I think is a prudent set of choices. So I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Director Kennard, who is now in her which month of full-time employment?
Permanent.
She's in her third month of being the permanent director, is doing a terrific job. I want to echo what Commissioner Hardesty said. She's she is very accessible, and she spends a lot of time with commissioners in their office explaining things and getting feedback, and I think she's doing a great job. So thank you, Director Kennard, to you and your staff. There are a number of things that I really deeply care about in this bump. I'm pleased that the money set aside for the Portland Harbor Trust was identified. By the way, the trust idea is so great that that the polluter's favorite lawyer in town is suing us over its implementation. But that's par for the course in government. But I'm pleased that we're setting money aside. I'm actually very pleased that we're making real progress on the cleanup, but pleased that the council is showing this foresight to put the money aside. On behalf of the Rangers and my bureau, Parks Bureau, thank you for funding some additional vehicles that will allow them to actually get around the city as they are required to. And while we haven't really talked about it much, I'm pleased the mayor has brought forth an ask for the DePaul Treatment Center. One thing we know about the current crisis on our streets is that a lot of people are suffering from addiction. The worst place in the world to treat addiction is on our sidewalks. We need more beds. We have some very dubious statistics in the state of Oregon in terms of the level of services we provide to people who have addiction. We have an opioid crisis and other things that are exacerbating the situation. So DePaul does a terrific job and gets great outcomes, also serves a lot of very vulnerable low-income people and helps them deal with their addiction. So Mayor, I'm pleased as part of our overall response to this homeless crisis that we're investing in the new DePaul Treatment Center, which will be located in Gateway. Thank you to my colleagues for the conversations we've had. I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Hardesty.
I also am very grateful that this bump process has been a very inclusive process. It's been one where we've had hard conversations and had to, of course, make some hard choices because we don't have all the money we would like to have to do all the things we would like to do. I am very grateful and appreciative that the mayor has taken a very collaborative approach and actually has had really deep conversations. I actually feel like the city council is in a place that I wished we were long before I got here, which is that I think respect that each other comes from a different worldview. We've had different life experiences, but at the end of the day, we're all here for the same reason, which is to serve the people of the city of Portland to the best of our ability. And so I am honored to put my support behind this budget, this bump process, and I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I want to thank my colleagues and the bureaus for their commitment to fiscal responsibility throughout this fall bump process. I want to second the thanks for Director Kennard and her entire team. They've done an outstanding job. And I want to thank my team, especially Kristen Dennis, who's worked very hard on this process. There's a few items I'm particularly pleased about that I just want to quickly highlight. First of all, the $120,000 for a joint effort between city bureaus and community organizations in the advancement of our anti-displacement action plan. And as we all know, community organizations have a proven track record when it comes to researching anti-displacement policies to the city's benefit. And there's some really good coalition work already underway through the city's comprehensive plan, the Southwest Corridor's Equitable Development Strategy, and the East Portland Action Plan. And it's my belief that we must support these city and community partnerships on displacement so that Portland gets it right. If we create an anti-displacement action plan with insight both from the bureaus and those who are the most impacted, we can obviously create better and more durable solutions. And we can become that city we want to become, where people don't fear investments and services as precursors for displacement. The $500,000 that Commissioner Fish just mentioned for the DePaul Treatment Center, we know that the addiction crisis here is a serious one. Some recent statistics that I've heard include that Oregon is the fourth most addicted state in the United States, and depending upon whose statistics you believe, we are either the 47th or the 49th in terms of providing treatment services. And so that does help explain some of what we see in terms of the crisis that's been unfolding on our streets. So with this investment and investments from many other supporters, DePaul will be providing new space and new services to provide critical treatment to those who are in need in our community. The $50,000 for joint funding between BDS and the Portland Bureau of Development Services and the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management for a PSU study on mitigating fossil fuel risk. I'm proud to be working with Commissioner Hardesty on this. I'm so proud of the fact that the entire City Council is behind this, and we're glad to seek a foundational piece to the city's strategy to transition to a clean, secure, and safe energy future. We can't wait on action around climate change. We have to make the necessary investments to make the transition. And I want to thank the many Portlanders and environmental organizations and neighborhood coalition offices who contacted my office in support of these efforts. And finally, this is the smallest item that made it into the fall supplemental budget, but it's not an insignificant one. It was $6,800 for a city employee training pilot in partnership with the Western States Center. In February, the City Council unanimously passed a resolution condemning white supremacy and alt-right hate groups. That resolution directed the city to develop training for city employees about the history of white supremacy and white nationalism in the Portland area. The funding is for the development of a pilot training that will be first offered to city commissioners and bureau directors and then expand from there. And I look forward to being part of the first group to receive this training under this particular grant. Just a couple of quick footnotes here. During the budget process, as Commissioner Hardesty mentioned, we had significantly more demand for general fund dollars than we actually had in terms of resources to support those requests. So I'm pleased to announce that we've landed on a strategy to support both the Division Transit and the James Beard Market Study from existing funds. I directed Prosper Portland to allocate general fund dollars to support small business outreach as part of the Division Transit project, and through its partnership with OMSI in the Central East Side, they'll work to fund the James Beard Market pre-development work through the Central East Side TIF investment, the tax increment financing. And I've asked that they bring back to us by 2020 a report on whether there is or is not a feasible path forward for the James Beard Market. So with that, I vote aye. Fall supplemental budget ordinance is adopted as amended.
And the crowd goes wow.
And now for something completely different.